is to give you guys a little bit of a sense of what Chassidus is. It's not something you get too much exposure to in yeshiva. And it's something which I think is a little bit misunderstood in your world. There's a lot of optics that don't work with some of the sensibilities, your cultural sensibilities, the dress, the lifestyle, eating food that people tie. It's just, there's a very, very deep pool of ideas. And if you haven't studied them, you just get all caught up in the cultural gaps, which are very, very significant. And it's really the movement, the modern movement that saved and rescued Judaism. And interestingly enough, as an aside, not that it's important, it is important, but not that it's vital, you'd be surprised how many aspects of Hasidus infiltrated religious Zionist thinking. That's why Hasidus is very popular in a lot of religious Zionist circles. But that's, like, we don't have to justify Hasidus because what it did for our particular segment of the community. But I just feel like if you have someone explaining it to you in your language, the problem with Hasidus is it's a different language, it's a different type of experience based on Kabbalah. So people that are involved or internal to Hasidus, it's harder for them to articulate it in languages that people on the outside can understand. I'm always looking for those people. I have a hard time finding them. And I'm looking for Hasidim that can explain it to non-Hasidim. It's a little hard because they know the song they're singing, but you don't know that song. So I've done a lot of learning of Hasidus, and I wrote a master's in Hasidus. So I just want to try to give you appreciation of that world. And the easiest sefer, sadly, to understand Hasidus is Sfas Emes. I say sadly because it's such an easily written sefer. It's so easy to read. But every single word, not every, but many, many words in the Sfas Emes are coded. And I see people just getting up at Shal Shudas and giving the Vartro the Sfas Emes says, like you'd quote me or quote Rabbi Sachs. It's just, I should never force lame as he's ill, Rabbi Sachs. Yeah, these are all very deeply, deeply entrenched in Kabbalistic ideas. And I such a hard time when people just quote Sfas Emes to a degree, not knowing the reference points. Okay, so let's try to get some of the background, what they refer to. I'll try to give you the background on the fly, and I can give you a whole 20-minute primer of Hasidus. If you're interested, I can send you many of the shirim I've given. But as we go through each piece, we'll try to get. So the Sfas Emes is written by Pir de Lev Alter, the grandson of the Chidush HaRim. He was orphaned at a very young age, so he was raised by his grandfather, the Chidush HaRim. He quotes his grandfather a lot. And he lived in 1847 till around 1905, and he basically was the Ger Rebbe. He put Ger on the map, and Ger became one of the, if not the most dominant form of Hasidus in the late 19th century. Just as an aside, again, not that it's important, not that it's vital for this, but in the early stages of Hasidus, there was a decentralization of Talmud Torah. Now, the Talmud Torah wasn't important, but the purpose of Hasidus was to radiate outwards from the Talmud Torah only experience to a broader, diverse experience, which could give credibility to people who weren't learning Torah as still religiously excellent and superior. Because of that, in some Hasidic circles, there was a bit of a drop-off in learning. The two exceptions, the two forms of Hasidus, which from the get-go, today Baruch Hashem, there isn't any Hasidus, learns just as much, if not more, as a non-Hasidic environment. But even in the early days, the two strains of Hasidus most responsible for maintaining Talmud Torah as the backbone, even with the new ideas which they were introducing, were Lubavitch, because Lubavitch was formed in Vilna. Vilna is the backyard of the Vilna Gaon. You're not going to create a successful movement in Vilna unless there's serious Talmud Torah, very, very serious Talmud Torah, and Ger. Ger and all of its tributaries and derivatives, even from an early age, not today all Hasidus, but as you go through the cycles of Hasidus, Torah is stressed, less, more, it's rehabilitated, but Ger is always the central feature. Okay. Let's take a look at the first piece, which is the piece that's a little bit different fonts. I don't know which year it is, but when you learn Sfas Emes, there are about, depending upon the size of the parsha, there are about Jeremy's here. So Jeremy, you missed our introduction to Hasidus. But
sorry,
you're,
I was taking care of my violin.
Okay, great. So he writes probably about 40 years of Torah. He starts in Tafrei Shlamed Gimel. Jeremy can move forward. He starts in Tafrei Shlamed Gimel. So help me, Tafrei Shlamed Gimel is 150 years ago, right? So he's starting to write roughly 1870. So roughly he's 33 years old, roughly. And he writes about 40 years. And he covers on it each parsha, the Sfas Emes, depending upon how many, how deep the parsha is, how many issues he wants to talk about, 10 major themes. And you see these themes unfolding as he grows older. So in Tafrei Shlamed Gimel, he'll write about them, he'll come back to it in Tafrei Shlamed Vav, and you'll see more nuances, and obviously at a certain point he moves on, but it's a very, just from a literary standpoint, it's a very different type of a sefer than the Ramban, who writes one pshat and that's his pshat, and you know, you don't know when he wrote the pshat. Okay, so he quotes the first Rashi, the very famous first Rashi that contrasts Noach and Avram, and then almost every piece begins with the Rashi or Medrash. So Barashi, Noach hayetzarach sad, Noach required support. Hisalech lifanai ve'yetamim, Avram walks before Hashem. Eser lakim misalech Noach, Noach leans on Hashem, which at least indicates that he's an inferior form of a tzaddik. Shehein alav akasav ish tzaddik, lo alo das chachamim lefachos bechvoda. So there's no way to read this Rashi the way you and I would read Rashi. Oh, the Torah presents him as a tzaddik, because I'll say, not really. Tzvasemis isn't buying that. The Torah provides one portrait of Noach, and we have a totally different portrait of Noach. Rather, what's happening? Okay, pause. Now let's talk about Chassidus. Chassidus is based on Kabbalah. Kabbalah, in one sense or less, Kabbalah doesn't just consider our world or the human experience. You could say that halacha considers the human experience. There's no halachas about Mars. Halacha doesn't really care what's happening in outer galaxies. We don't really care. The only planets that really affect us or interest us are those that affect us. So halacha is grounded. The moral history of Torah, Hashem's rachum lechanun, as it relates to us. So there's very little relation to the rest of our world, unless how it affects us. We need to know what a lulav is, we need to know what an esrog is. Or showing the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the synchronicity of Hashem, Magadlu Masech Hashem. But Kabbalah thinks about everything that was created, and then all the tears on top of that. So everything that is created is what our eyes and our scientific tools can decode. It means, let's say we could have the tools to discover the entire universe. Let's say, for argument's sake, not to get into that debate, let's say the universe is finite. At a point in time, we lock it in, it's A to Z. If we had the tools to scour and explore all of the universe, that entire universe is just one room. Because there are other rooms, but they're not just side rooms, they're on top of it, because how do we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the source of everything, but who's infinite, who's indivisible, who isn't physical, I said three different things, and how do we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to this piece of paper? Well, this piece of paper was created by Hashem. How does Hashem's infinite, indivisible, non-physical essence trickle down? So it trickles down through all those worlds. Those are called lattices, in Hebrew, spheros. So at every world, and within each world, you've got a slow, gradual physicalization of Hashem's essence. Whereas something of Hashem's essence is secreted, like you'd secrete part of yourself, and that secretion morphs into something else until it forms a glass of Coca-Cola, or forms a glass, or anything physical in our world. So the whole thought process of Kabbalah is very, very panoramic. Cosmological. You're not just thinking about what's the halacha, how do I perform it, how do I access this importance, and how I live in this world of history and humanity as an Oved Hashem. You're thinking about why did Hashem create the cosmos, what's the purpose of the cosmos. We say it a little differently because we'll come back to this. Jews who aren't thinking Kabbalistically think about two falls of man. What are the two falls of man? The first fall is humanity's fall from Gan Eden. We were in a state of potential perfection, potential utopia. We sinned. We ate of the Eitz Hadas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expelled man from Gan Eden, decreed death, and downgraded human experience. 2,500 years later, humanity was about to revive Gan Eden. Who were the people about to revive Gan Eden? The Jewish people, on behalf of all humanity. We stood at our Sinai, and whatever toxicity entered our systems in Gan Eden, not just physical but spiritual, was purged. We had a chance to restore all that Gan Eden, and over the next 1,300 years, we blew it, slowly but surely. Second base of Mikdash is destroyed. So that's the second fall of man, the national fall. So there's a human fall, and then there's a national fall. And they're both faults. It's our fault that we fell out of Gan Eden. It's our fault that we fell out of Eretz Yisrael base of Mikdash. There's a prior fall in Kabbalah. And that's the fall of the world. And Hashem wanted to create this world, but this world was incapable of handling his indivisibility, because Hashem is integrated. There's no way to divide Hashem in ways that I can't explain to you, because everything you know is divisible. Okay, Rabbi, a molecule is it is an atom. What an atom is it? Yes, it is, because look how much energy you can unleash when you smash an atom. And, okay, what about subatomic particles? Everything you take can be further divided. You can be divided into ration and psychology, ration, physical, non-physical, conscious, subconscious, this table. So everything in our world is integrated in one way or another, covalently bonded, ionically bonded, psychologically bonded. Hashem is echad. Hashem is indivisible. He's a oneness that I can't describe to you. And the world was created and was incapable of maintaining that oneness with itself and with Hashem, that complete alignment. And the world fell into division. And our purpose is to try to reunite everything. It's called liyachedes olamos, to rebuild the unity of the worlds that reflected Hashem's original. Now, why couldn't the Kodesh Baruch Hu create a world that was kabbalah? That's already beyond my understanding of Kabbalah. So I'm just trying to show you that the whole field of vision in Chassidus and Kabbalah is much, much, much broader. It's not just how I can improve my midos or improve my my tefillin and Talmud Torah or improve my community. It's a very, very broad, sweeping conversation. So, in his mind, this is why Noach is a perfect tzaddik for his point in history. History was not yet ready for Avraham. You hear the breadth of the thinking? I want to think about how long does it take from Adam to Avram, 2,000 years. I'm going to describe to you the timeline of 2,000 years, as Vasem says. It takes about 800 years. When was Noach? About 1,000? When was Noach? I forget. 800, 1,000. About 1,000 years for the world to be ready for Noach, to recover from Adam. But the world isn't yet ready for the type of tzaddik that Avram is. So when the Torah describes Noach ish tzaddik tamim haya b'darosav, it means he was a he was a limited tzaddik. Hi, Avram. But he was perfect for Darosa. He was perfect for his generation because the generation was not yet ripe for the type of leadership that Avram would provide. So you see how there's a thought process that's global and sweeping rather than Noach and his friends and what they said to each other? It's what the world is compatible with and ready for at certain stages. Let's read together. Line number 4. Achki, kach seder hadaros. First you need a tzaddik who is reliant upon Hashem. This is Vasem is Avram. Here's the punchline. Now it doesn't tell us why. Yourself, why? Why in, again, I wouldn't say, we would think, why in human history is humanity not ready? But Kabbalah doesn't think about humans. You're just part of a larger cosmos. Why is the cosmos not ready for that type of leadership that Avram would ultimately provide? He doesn't say. But he's starting to see a broadening. Okay. Second thesis of today. That whatever happens in those worlds is true about this world. Because you're part of the cosmos. And you think about the cosmos. Take your cue from the cosmos. Nowhere is this more glaring than in Chabad Chassidus. Where all those sephiros that I talked about, all those elements that Hashem's essence trickles down through, they all have a reference in yourself, in your psychology. Chachma, Bina, Das. So instead of the Kabbalists having to leap up to Shema Kazuhem, Kabbalah, when I say Kabbalah, you think of mystical experience. Kabbalah is a study, like you'd study math. If you go back into the Ramban's Beis HaMedrash, you give a shiur on Kabbalah. You open up your Svarim and you studied Kabbalah. The Ravid studied Kabbalah. Beis Yosef studied Kabbalah. The Ramban studied Kabbalah. The Rashba, 95% of the Rishonim studied Kabbalah. Small minority of them didn't want to study Kabbalah. But it wasn't mystical experience. It was studying, like you'd study any discipline. So typically it was very elitist and esoteric because you had to study very abstract, highfalutin ideas. You had no way to rationalize. But part of what Chabad did is not just study yourself. Study the part of yourself that corresponds to Chachma, the part of yourself that corresponds to Bina. Again, it's still not a walk in the park, but it's an internal, fancy word, I made up this phrase when I wrote my thesis, an internalization of cosmology. What a fancy word. To take cosmology about the cosmos and internalize it. So I don't have to study the cosmos, I have to study myself. So what happens in the world is a training or a template for how I'm going to grow developmentally. So when a non-Kabbalist studies Bereishis looking for developmental instruction, you study the life of Avram, the life of Noach, his interactions, his tefillos, his strengths, his weaknesses. When a Mekubal studies, you say, well, how's the world unfolding? The way the world's unfolding will be a roadmap for my own development. So let's see this happening in the second part. V'hinei kol zeh aseh d'shenichtav b'tara, b'vadai noeh gam b'chol nefesh Yisrael. Ki ha'klal, now here's where people will quote this Vasemis without fully being able to lock in. Haklalu There are three cycles, and those three cycles overlap. What are the three cycles? Space, time, and human identity. Space means cosmos, reality. Time is not reality. Time is just the cycle of time. And you, Josh or Daniel. V'chlal b'zeh, who, olam, the world, cosmos, shana, time, nefesh, you, misnagim b'yofanecha. They don't follow the same cycle. You see, I have to know what he's misnagim b'yofanecha. So just like the world has to develop incrementally and in a staged fashion, so too does Yitzchak Rav. Yitzchak, stop trying to be an Avraham. First be a Noach, then be an Avraham. I could have given you that Musar Vart on my own. I have to take it from the cosmos. But once you know that's the way the cosmos operated under 2,000 years of development, it's the cosmos, not me. Oh, it gives you a little more confidence. You know what? I'm going to be in sync with the cosmos. I'm going to proceed that way. So how should you grow? So let's see. The Eish Mitchilas Toh. In the beginning, you're Toh. You grow up, you're a child, you don't know anything, you're confused, you can't eat, you just cry. Everything is Toh. K'mohanaru Kishanola. So when you start your life, you're in Bracious. Achena Kodesh Baruch Hu, Megin V'Shomer, Nekudachas B'Nefesh Adam. He saves a part of you. Kudachas, we're not going to talk about what that means right now. But he saves you like he saves Noach. Mikol B'nei Daros. Hashem saves you from potential fall. Omizos HaNekudah, and that part of you that Hashem saves, Nasach L'Kach told us, B'Spash Tizkoch B'Nefesh Adam. You grow in your potential. Here's a key phrase. Now we're in Lech Lecha, Vayerech HaYisara, four lines in the bottom. Lahotzi Hamidos Kedimion HaAvos. In order, what's Bracious, basically? Chazal say that Avram and the Avos kept the entire Torah, for sure, but what do we see? What are we looking at in Sefer Bracious? Midos. So at a literal level, we're seeing them, we're going from Tov Vavo to Noach, to Midos, to Matan Torah. So if you want to know how to become an Oved Hashem, you start out Tov Vavo. Hashem steps in and preserves a part of you, so there's a lot of Siyat Dishmaya. Keep in mind, different point, third point about Chassidus. In Chassidus, the boundary between Bechira Chavshus and Hashem's intervention is very, very nebulous. In non-Chassidus, the boundary is very clear. Where does Hashem's territory end? Right here. Hashem Aretz Imloa, Hashem is the entire universe, but not in here. Hashem gave me this district as mine, I make my own choices. And I'm responsible for my own choices, and they're my choices. At most, Hashem can help me once I've made the choice. Abba l'tayr m'sayin asam. But in Chassidus, if Hashem is everywhere, then why shouldn't he be in here? If he's in here, then he's also making decisions for you. So Hashem saves a part of you from chaos, just like he saves Noach. Then you build Midos, like the others, and then you're Zohar Kabbal Satar. Okay, so this is a relatively simple piece. That's why I chose it to begin with. But you're starting to see how you can't just read this Farsamas like you'd be reading, I don't know, a Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma is a rational-based sefer. It's a den sefer, but every word means what it means. There's no background to a system. It's just what it means. He's just quoting a Gemara. You look at the Gemara, and you hear his message. Here, the messages have to have that background. What does Chassidus do? What does Kabbalah do? Okay? Questions? I know these are ideas you may have thought about, you may not have heard. Okay. Let's take a look. On that note, let's go to the last piece here, Tafresh Mem Beis, and we'll see how much time we have. We'll work our way back. Okay? Binyan Dor HaMabul VeHaflaga. So now again, he's talking about generations that span thousands of years. He's not talking about Noach, Shem, Eishes Noach, Kayin, humanity, generations, the flow of humanity. We call the zeitgeist, the unfolding of humanity, the unfolding of human history. So you have Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga. The book ends with the Parsha. Parsha begins with Dor HaMabul, Parsha ends with Dor HaFlaga. Shadaris Holchim Mutukanim, Madrega Acha Madrega. Okay? The generations are evolving constructively. Now that's not something you would get from just reading Bracious. You'd think it's all chaos until Avram comes. But he feels that there's a growth that's being exhibited between the beginning of Noach and the end of Noach. Now, how does he know this? The Mishnah novels. 10 daros from Adam to Noach, and Noach gets his char. 10 daros from Noach to Avram. You could read that Mishnah just saying, those 10 daros before Noach were a wash, one person. Those 10 daros between Noach and Avram were also a wash, one person. But he feels that the statement of 10 daros, especially since 10, 10, 10, the next 10 will be the 10 misyonos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested the Jewish people, has to be part of a cycle of growth. So first of all, history is evolutionary. even what we'd call prehistory. We'd like to think that history is evolutionary from Avram. But before Avram, it's all just chaos. And Avram came and revolutionized the planet. But no. So what's the evolution between Dar HaMabul and Dar HaFlood? What's the difference between the two? How come Dar HaMabul is at a more nascent and less developed stage? They're both sinful, they both get punished. Well, it's obvious to us they don't get punished to the same degree. Dar HaMabul gets obliterated, Dar HaFlood gets dispersed. So what's the difference? Okay. Kecheshbana Mishnayus to Avos, history is evolutionary. The last 10 generations are being built upon the accomplishments or whatever they are of the first 10 generations. Kecheshbana Mishnayus to Avos, like the Mishnah and Avos, Asara Daros Me'adama Noach, Odia Hashem Achisin, the first 10 generations infuriated Hashem, Achehevi Aleim Amalbu Avim Novdu Lagamri. The Acher Kach, Bidor HaFlaga, here's the key word. What value does the Dor HaFlaga have? Oh, you can see, Achdus. Why is Achdus important? Not just because we all have to get along and we all live in Brooklyn, you have to make space for everyone, and all these Jews have to like each other, and not the way you and I would define Achdus, tolerance, mutual appreciation. Achdus means cosmological unification. The more that we're unified, the more that we're capable of unifying our world. So Achdus now has cosmological meaning, not just sociological, religious, ideological, developmental. Now it is cosmological. It's why Chassidim, before they would perform a mitzvah, they would say, L'shem yichud kutcha brichu. You don't say it. Except for Sefiras Omer, where you say it because it's written in your siddur. Those who know, like myself, I don't say it, because the Nodav Hida was very opposed to saying L'shem yichud kutcha brichu. He went on a war against it. And being that I don't practice Chassidus, I don't say it. Most non-Hasidim don't say it, but for whatever reason, Sefiras Omer, because it's so Kabbalistic, had a lot of Hasidus that wormed its way in, even to Sfarim say all the mitzvahs, right? Sfarim have a long Kabbalistic background, even before Hasidus, for sure. Okay. And a lot of Hasidus were influenced by the Sfarim coming from Israel, for sure, in many, many areas. Okay. So the Acher Kach, line number 4, Bidor HaFlaga Hayelem HaAchdus, Kimosha Kasav, Safa'achas. They all spoke one language. They were one people, Amachat, Safa'achat. So they spoke one language. Then just mean they're all linguists, so they all knew each other's French and Russian, but they had a common purpose, common solidarity, that is reflective of how we're trying to rebuild the world. What happened? Rak Shiloh Hayu Kinesia L'Shem Shemayim. That gathering went south. They didn't use that Achdus for productive purposes. We're not going to discuss why. I'll talk about this Wednesday night during the Chabura. The Amru, and the Mishnah says, Sheba Avram Avinu V'kibel Schar HaKulam. What does that mean? So when you were young, how did you read that Mishnah? That all those 10 generations, Avram gathered all their schar. Like you're playing at the poker table, everyone comes with their chips. At a certain point, Hashem says, everyone out of the room! Avram, you get all the chips. Seems very selfish, right? Any good deed they did, Avram gets all their schar. But the Sfasemis means Avram takes their accomplishments and pays it forward. He says, okay, now your accomplishment of Achdus, let's see if I can encapsulate it and then move it forward in a more positive direction. So it's not Avram reaping schar, you know, putting things in his pocket, taking chips off the table. It's Avram taking their accomplishments and advancing them. So let's read. Ba Avram, 4 lines in the bottom. Kibol schar kulan. Velo novdi lagamri kidar mabul. And the evolutionary nature of Dar HaFlaga is even more pronounced in mabul, because they're not murdered. They're not annihilated. Not murdered, bad word. They're not wiped away. So the evolutionary shift from Dar HaPlaga to Avram is much more obvious, because people don't die, they just get scattered. So what is it? The Achar Kach, Asara Nisyonos, Asara Nisim. And Nisayan is always an ace, it's a trial, but it's an ace, Hashem protecting you. Shezachu Achach B'nei Yisrael, Lahalos Anhaga L'Hashem Yisbach. We take the unity of that people. So basically, if you're asking me, what was the accomplishments of Dor HaFlaga? Achdus. And Achdus, not just, again, getting along with one another, but setting a model for where humanity is meant to surge towards throughout all of human history. We're trying to integrate this world. Finally, after so much curse and mabul and kayin, murder and shechei saaretz and adultery and theft and graft, there was a level of Achdus that set a tone. Unfortunately, that Achdus was employed counterproductively. Avram took their Achdus and then said, now let's see if we can take the Achdus of Am Yisrael and lead towards the cosmological reunification that will mean the end of this world. Yes, Avram. I'm not sure if this piece would agree with that, but even if you would, he would say, look, there's great potential with Achdus. That potential can also be abused and manipulated incorrectly. But it's great potential, not just because of, oh, you could either use your Achdus to build a base of Mikdash or use your Achdus to kill each other or to rebel against Hashem, but simply because Achdus itself is where the cosmos is heading to. So by creating unity, we're setting the stage for what we're trying to accomplish in ways that your eyes can't trace. Okay, now let's finish. The Kolze, you see the last three lines? Remember, cosmology is a template for human development? Here again. The Kolze, Tzarech Lios Gam Ken HaSeder, Gam Bechol Prat HaAdam. If you want to know how to grow as a person, just look at the first 2,500 years of history. Now, don't just look at Noach and Avram. Translate to T.S. Mitzrayim. What should you do? Shemikodem Yesh Tov Avo. First, again, you start off in Bereishis. You're just a little baby, and the whole world just seems confusing. V'tzrichem Yegia Labo Lebechinas Achdus. Okay, this is hard. Achdus with yourself. This is not Achdus with someone else. This means in your own personal development, try to have Achdus. So what does Achdus with yourself mean? It's a very, very important word. And it's the highest me that you can achieve. And I promise you, you'll get there one day if you try really hard. But I promise it's going to take a really, really long time. But listen carefully. It's called, in Hebrew, Shlemus. Or in English, it's called integrity. So let me describe it to you in English. We use the word integrity in a virtuous way. Oh, that person, he has integrity. What we mean is that person is the same person no matter where they are. They'll act based on a code of honor, not because people are looking, because they want to impress people, because they want to make money, they want to... So they're at home, they'll act the right way. They're in their workplace, they'll act the right way. They manage, they'll act the right way. In theory, you could be a person of great integrity and be a terrible, terrible mass murderer. You kill wherever you are. If I see you on the basketball court, I'll slice your throat. If I see you at home, I'll cut your head off. If I see you, I have integrity. I'm the same person wherever I am. We use it because generally we're trying to find people that are virtuous and moral and religious in every state. Integrity means you are the same person regardless of context or regardless of occupation. You're the same exact person. Your activities are different. You're learning, you're davening, you're in the bathhouse, you're intimate with your wife, you are in business, but you're the same person. That's called shlemus, this continuity. It takes a really, really long time. Think of yourself. Anyone who tells me you have integrity now, you don't, because you're lying. This means you're lying to me now, you're honest other times. You're one person now, you're not, which is part of being 18, 19. As you grow old, you want to try to be the same person. I'd like to think that I'm nearing the stage in my life where if you came to my house, I'd be dressed a little different maybe. I won't wear maybe rabbi clothing. I'd be maybe playing PlayStation like kids. I haven't played in months, but whatever, I'd be hanging. But you pretty much, you know what, pretty much same guy. He's not acting, he's not the same type of person. And you want to always try to create that integration. It's a lifelong process to really be this is one. So that's Achdus, to be that one, just like the different parts of yourself, you want to make that one person. So that's, you start with Tov Avo, you reach the Achdus, either at a social level or at an existential level of Dara Mabul. Achar kach tzichem liagesh, Achdus l'shem shemayim. Then you want to take the Achdus, either at a social level, personal level, and use it l'shem shemayim. Okay? So this is a second example, a little bit more developed than the first example. There's a second example. Oh boy. Okay, I got to stop now. There's a lot to say. There's a lot. Second example of where the general cosmological trends pave the way for human identity. If a lot of this seems unfamiliar to you, it is, because you probably haven't shared it here in the Hasidus, but people aren't Hasidim. People are Hasidim, they just say these things as they live it. I'm not a Hasid, but I gain a lot from exposure and from thinking about these ideas. Hopefully throughout the year I'll have a chance to give you some more exposure. Okay? I take my kid to the doctor. Okay? See you soon. You hold on to it.